The National Medal of Honor Museum will be a unique home of military history. The 100,000 square foot museum will house exhibits, archives, and artifacts relating to the 3,500 U.S. troops who have been awarded the medal, the nation's highest honor for valor in combat. The museum will have 31,000 square feet of galleries dedicated to U.S. troops who have received the award. The museum CEO, former Navy SEAL and NASA astronaut Chris Cassidy, said the museum will focus on education as much as preservation. The building will have five areas dedicated to Medal of Honor winners from the Army, Marine Corps, Navy, Air Force, and Coast Guard. The main gallery will be located in a central plaza under a 25,000 square foot slab of steel, which will appear to be suspended in midair. It will be supported by five pillars. Black Rifle Coffee is a corporate sponsor of the museum, as are the Dallas Cowboys. The museum's board also includes over a dozen major corporations and six Medal of Honor recipients, including David Bellavia, Patrick Brady, and Britt Slabinski. Army Staff Sergeant Bellavia was awarded the medal for clearing an entire house by himself on November 10, 2004, as a squad leader in support of Operation Phantom Fury in Fallujah, Iraq. He killed four enemy fighters and wounded a fifth in close quarters battle. Army Major General Brady flew and coordinated the evacuation of 51 seriously wounded men during a firefight in Vietnam in January 1968. Slabinski, a Navy SEAL chief and team leader, led a rescue team of SEALs during Operation Anaconda in Afghanistan in March 2002. Slabinski and his team flew to a mountaintop ambush site to rescue Petty Officer First Class Neil Roberts, who had fallen from the back of a helicopter. Slabinski led the team through almost constant combat against an entrenched Taliban force. Along with the board members, former presidents Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama serve as honorary directors. The museum is expected to open to the public in late 2024.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back.
Misfit Nation Show.
We are a show founded by a veteran and hosted by two veterans and a military spouse. Our mission is to get people to tell their stories to the world. If you're an author, share your tips with the Misfit Nation. If you're a musician or an actor, our audience needs to know how they too can get into the business. Coaches, we love our coaches. Come on and share your tips with Misfit Nation to help them become better versions of themselves. If you are a corporate leader or an entrepreneur, come on and show how you did it and how hard you have fought for success. If you are a veteran, first responder, or Gold Star family, we would love to have you come on and share your story with the Misfit Nation. We always have time for you. If you're feeling down, alone, or starting to see the darkness, stop. Think about those who are around you. You are not alone. You will be missed. If you feel like your problems will be a burden to those in your inner circle or feel embarrassed, dial 988. If you are a veteran, take option one. We need you to keep pushing forward. Don't make a permanent solution to a temporary problem. If you are a new listener, welcome to the Misfit Nation Show. Be sure to subscribe to our show on your favorite podcast app. Also on our YouTube channel at @_MisfitNation. Subscribe and click the bell to keep you up to date on our latest episodes and all of our news. You can also find us on Heroes Media Group and About Face Radio. Now, let's get to the show!
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back to our Tuesday After Dinner show. I know you guys miss RJ on here tonight. He has a prior engagement time. He will be back Thursday. He might be the lead host on Thursday, as I have prior engagements Thursday. We missed Sunday night, and where we would have made this announcement then. But on the 28th in Jordan, we lost three soldiers. Sergeant William Jerome Rivers of Carrollton, Georgia. Specialist Kennedy Landon. Laydon Sanders of Waycross, Georgia, and Specialist Brianna Alexandria Moffat of Savannah, Georgia. All three were assigned to the 718th Engineer Company, 926th Engineer Battalion, 926th Engineer Brigade out of Fort Moore, Georgia. Rest easy, sappers. We have the breach from now till Valhalla, and we hope that our brothers and sisters overseas will remain safe, and they will find who did this and take action against them. So we'll pause here for a little moment of silence for them. All right, now, after a somber note, we'll bring in, we have a great coming. He's a former Marine captain, combat veteran, multiple overseas deployments. He holds multiple graduate degrees with honors and has worked as a college professor and business consultant. His new book, Reawakening the Warrior Spirit, Exploring What It Means to Be a Warrior in the Modern West, engages some of the most challenging topics of the day from the unique perspective of the military warrior mindset. So without further ado, let's welcome USMC veteran Jason Downing to the Misfit Nation. Welcome, Jason.
Hey, thanks for having me. Wonderful to be here.
It's great to connect with veterans like yourself, especially across the sphere, since the interweb brings us closer together now. Of course, the world's a lot smaller with the interweb and the universe, and we probably would never meet without it unless we were on the war field somewhere and running into each other, throwing dirt at each other, making jokes at each other for being Army and Marines. But
that's right.
It's great to have you here. I gave a little snippet about you right there, Jason. If you don't mind, tell the Misfit Nation a little bit more about you from as far back as you want to go, how you made it, how you got into the Marines, and how you got to where we are now.
Sure. I joined the Marines back in 2009, coming right out of college. And at the time, I just, you know, the Iraq war was still a very big concern at the time, and so was the Afghanistan war. And there was a lot of turmoil going on. You know, I was studying political science, so I heard about it just about every day when I was in college. And I just wanted to do my part. I wanted to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem. I wanted to be somebody that was actually doing something as opposed to somebody who was sitting on the sidelines and throwing critiques at the people who were actually fighting the wars. And so I thought the only way that I could really do that and to have like an honorable experience regarding it was to go and to throw my hat in the ring and raise my hand to say, hey, I'll go out and I'll do what needs to be done. So I went to training, ended up going through 2 years of training, and then subsequently after that did two deployments. So one was to Afghanistan, Helmand Province with Regimental Combat Team 5. I was part of the intelligence unit there. And our job was to essentially gather intel about the area of operations in which we operated, and then to help the regimental commander make the most beneficial decision that he could for the area based on the intel that we were gathering. And our specific mission was to try to draw down our troop presence while we were there and hand over the security blanket to the Afghan security forces, which we had been training up for several years in the area. Following that deployment, I left the regiment team and went to battalion, 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines, where I was the scout sniper platoon commander. Trained up a platoon for about 6 months, then deployed on the 31st MEU out to Japan, Australia, and China. And that was, and then had like the great opportunity to be able to be a platoon commander in that area. Following that, I decided I pretty much had checked all the boxes that I wanted to do in the military, and it was time for me to move on to the next mission of my life. So I decided to get out at that time. I left the Marines as a captain and went into business school. And I'll be honest, like that transition was a lot harder to make than I had originally thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be this smooth transition, you know, sail off into the sunset. And what I found is that, you know, one day you're a Marine, you're part of the service, you have your mission statements, you have your orders, you're part of something that's bigger and stronger and more meaningful than just yourself. And the next minute, like really, it's gone. The thing that had formed the primary focal point of my identity for so many years, and I dedicated so much time and training in, had just kind of been removed. And it was up to me then to figure out what the next purpose of my life was. And so that kind of leads into the book that you mentioned is, you know, following getting out of the Marines and getting into business school. I did all right, but it was a rough time for me for several years. I started kind of actually on a downward spiral for a while. Lost relationships, lost my health for a little while. Started self-medicating for a while, lost a job, and realized that I was in a really rough situation. And it wasn't until I was able to find some purpose for my life again that I was able to turn things around and start putting the pieces back together. And so that was what I was hoping to communicate in the book that I wrote, Reawakening the Warrior Spirit. It's all about coming from a place of, you know, not having purpose and seeing some of just the crazy ideas which are floating around, a lot of the tension and the division which is going on in our culture nowadays, and trying to make sense of it from the perspective of the military warrior.
Sometimes people don't understand that we have a better lens, because we are able to step away and look from the outside in, especially right. when you're deployed, you're able to look from way outside in, and you mm-hmm. hear the noise. You can see the noise, like we talked earlier about the interwebs. You can see the noise, but you don't actually hear it. But you see what's happening, both sides of whoever's arguing. You can see both points, but everyone's yeah. trying to do one thing, have success or be happy. It's just that they don't understand they both want the same thing. And sometimes it takes that warrior mindset to bring them both parties together and say, look, brother, we both want the same thing. Let's just sit down and talk it out and get through this, and we'll be a better place.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's one of the biggest problems that we're having nowadays is that, the whole idea of just sitting down and talking with somebody is really, it's old fashioned. It's gone away. Now we have people just really yelling at each other over Instagram, social media, whatever the platform is. And you think, well, you know, I'm trying to communicate with people, but you're not actually having a conversation. What you're doing is posting a comment. And then somebody else from that you don't know, could be, you know, a 15-year-old in a basement somewhere, is going to, you know, fire a comment back at you, and then you're going to fire a comment back, but then it's probably going to be somebody else who answers. So it's like it's lacking the face-to-face conversation. It's not really an in-depth conversation. You're lacking, you know, you don't get to hear their tone, you don't get to see their body language, they don't get to know you as an individual. You're just an avatar on a screen that they're screaming at. So, I agree with you completely. It's something that we seem to have lost.
Yeah, definitely. The keyboard commandos, I like to call them, like you said, the 15-year-old kid in his mom's basement drinking cold red Mountain Dew all day and just plugging away, just typing words to get reactions so he can mm-hmm. go viral. He or she can go viral and say, look what I did. Look what I caused. But you really didn't do anything. You just stirred the fire, poked the bear, really, and made someone trip up and do something crazy. You mentioned 2-4 Marines before. I actually got to serve with 2-4 Marines. I was with their higher headquarters with the Army. We actually was above them in Ramadi at the time. Oh, we were on the streets of Ramadi in 2004 in the fight for Ramadi there with them guys. So I still shoot a lot of dirt with them dudes, and I'll never forget the magnificent bastards. So I was glad to hear you say that you were in 2-4. I never meet anyone I was actually in 2-4, so that's awesome.
It was a real pleasure to be there. I love those guys.
I mean, I learned a lot. I didn't know how Marines fought until I fought with them, but I learned quickly. You got to move fast and learn what they're doing before they know what they're doing, because things happen a lot quicker with them than they did for us, because different training methods, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Yeah, all about maintaining the momentum and the aggression in the fight. That is just key. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Fire superiority. I heard a lot from Lance Corporals. Our superiority, sort. All right, buddy, I got it. Gotcha. I understand now. Got it. So you talked earlier in the green room that today you did some mentoring, and I know that's something a lot of us like to do, as to find purposes to mentor others to be successful. Mm-hmm. How did you get into mentoring, and what's the best thing that comes to you out of doing it?
Well, actually, the meeting I had today was with my mentor personally. So, you know, I have a mentor and a business coach that I talk to a couple times a month. And sometimes it's just getting together and kind of, you know, shooting the shit, having a cigar. Other times, you know, we get into some deeper stuff, go through like a book together or something to that extent. But it just, I think, you know, when you have somebody who's above you, who's lived a little bit more life, they provide, that wisdom. They can provide a little bit of perspective on some of the challenges you're facing. You know, I'm been married for a couple of years, have just a new kid who's now 4 months old, and it's my first kid. So I'm facing a lot of new things in my life. So being able to go to somebody who's walked that path a little bit farther than I have and able to say, look, I know you might be, you know, experiencing some crazy things right now, but trust me, you're doing just fine. You're going to get through it. That just helps, you know, to be a centering thing, you know, a centering force in your life during those times. So I can't speak highly enough of it. You know, it's something that I missed once I got out of the Marines, because I didn't have, you know, people who were pouring into me like I did in the Marines anymore. And I actually do some mentoring on the side as well. So I have a mentor and I mentor on the side. And for me, that's just about giving back. You know, it's about getting outside yourself. And one of the biggest things for me that provides meaning and purpose in my life is being able to pour into somebody who is, you know, a little bit younger than I am and is looking to make themselves better. And it's just, you know, it's an amazing feeling. And it's, I think it's an obligation that we all have. And it's, again, it's something that people in the military, they get it, because that's when one of your obligations when you're a leader in charge of Marines or in charge of soldiers, it's your job to look out for them. We have that broader perspective than just ourselves. It's about the team. It's about the benefit of the unit, not just about yourself. When you get outside of the military, you really have to seek that out. It's not something that's just there, and it's not something that's just given to you anymore. So you have to be very intentional about it. So that's what's something I've tried to incorporate into my life.
Especially like you went to business school and into the business world, you don't see a lot of leaders in the business world trying to grow their subordinates to take their place. Whereas in the military, that's your job. Yeah. My job is to make the next me, the next person that's going to be better than me. And for you, the next officer, that's going to be the great leader of the Marine Corps.
Right.
You don't see that in the corporate world because they're trying to protect their job if that's where they want to stay forever.
Well, so often to their own detriment too. I mean, like, you know, it's a very short-term strategy. You'll see the occasional business owner that will really want to develop the people that they bring on board because they're looking to, you know, they already have too much on their plates. They're really looking to give away as much as they can.
Right.
It's always those troublesome middle managers that you get into like the corporate bureaucracies that are very worried about their turf and about anybody encroaching. And they just, they're the ones that want to keep you down and want to make themselves look better. And so, it's like if you're in a situation like that, my only recommendation is to try to get out and try to find a better situation, try to find a better organization that is going to prioritize the training and development of the people on their team to a better extent. So that's really all you can do.
100%. And sometimes it might just be moving to another department in the same organization because the organization may be awesome, just that that department is kind of stagnant. You need to move out and be able to breathe. Or like Marky Mark said in Step Brothers, I'm a peacock, let me fly. Let me fly right there and do that. And you gotta let your peacocks fly at some point and show what they can do.
Did he just call himself a peacock?
There it is. That was outstanding. I just had another question for you. I was looking at it and I just lost it. How should a warrior understand strength and power?
Strength is about personal ability. That's how I define it. So the stronger you are, the more ability, the more potential you have in order to affect the world around you, for positive or for negative. So I see that a qualitative improvement in somebody's individual strength to be an overall improvement in their potential that they can bring to the world. So I'm all about creating as strong a person as you possibly can. And that includes physical strength, emotional strength, spiritual strength, and mental strength. It's about the well-rounded person. And so, you know, a lot of people, they hear me talk, you know, when I'm coaching or mentoring, they hear me talk about strength, they assume I'm talking about physical strength. And I always say, that's a place to start. But let me be very clear that when you go through and you look about like any warrior tradition in history, whether it be the Marines, whether it be the Army, whether it be the Samurai, whether it be, it doesn't matter. Far more emphasis is placed on the strength of character and the strength of your emotional, your emotional regulation and the strength of who you are on the inside rather than just physical readiness for combat. And so I think one of the reasons why people tend to focus on physical strength is that for one thing, it's easier to control, right? You know, we can't always affect our emotions. You know, you can't just say, I want to be happy or I want to be dedicated or I want to wake up early today. You know, it's a little bit harder, you know, but you can go to the gym. You can push yourself. You can actually pick yourself up and force yourself to go and go for a run, get a sweat. And that is what is going to help keep your mind in the right place, keep your emotions in the right place, keep your spirit in the right place. So for me, they're all tied together. But one of the easiest things to control is, you know, your physical ability and just going and making sure you're getting that exercise in every day. So that's one place I at least tell people to start if they're looking for a place to start. Now, when you talk about power, Power is an interesting thing to write about because a lot of the conversations in our modern world kind of spin around this idea of power. And depending on how you think about it, you know, people really get wrapped around the axle. Who has the power in society? What is power? How should we understand power? For me, what power is the application of strength. That's what it is. So when you say somebody's in a position of power, what you're really saying is that they have the ability to apply their strength to affect the world around them. So I have encouraged people that if you really want to have an impact on the world, you have to create as much strength and as much power as you possibly can. Strength isn't enough because that's just your personal ability. It you need to then take that and apply it to the world around you. And that takes choice. That takes a decision to then apply that strength and actually put yourself out there and to affect the people around you.
Exactly. 100% there too. And I learned during my career, reading is fundamental. You know, and it used to be a commercial, RAF, reading is fundamental.
Yeah.
Sun Tzu, Art of War. Read that book and I'll tell you about mental toughness, mental clarity, and being a smarter person going into battle. On my way to Afghanistan in 2010, I read the book Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And I went back in 2012. I read Afghanistan and Taliban. Read them both, so I know everything about all that. On the way, and still in country, I was reading Taliban over and over again, so I can understand what the culture was and the why behind why they're doing the things they do. So when I approached them, I knew what to do. So having that mental strength to learn other things, and be, like you said, emotions are hard to control sometimes, but if you have that mental clarity, you can usually take hold of some of that emotion and make a better decision.
Right. 100%. And it's, you know, it's the mental clarity that you speak of, and it's, you know, accumulating knowledge is an essential piece. And it's also deciding, you know, it's making the decision to take that knowledge and then to do something with it, right? I could give you perfect knowledge, but unless you decide to do something with it, then that knowledge remains wasted, right? You know, the classic example is people all know how to, say, lose weight, right? In theory, right? You know, stop eating McDonald's, you know, start eating, you know, salads or, you know, organic foods or whatever. But it's, you know, so the knowledge isn't the issue sometimes. Sometimes it's the willpower to be able to translate knowledge into action.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And we talked about two former Marines, and this next question really leans into what they think, what their mentality was when I was with them. What does it mean to pray for peace, but do prepare for war?
We all want peace in our lives, right? That I would say that most people, warriors especially, look forward for the peaceful times in their lives. And so, but, you know, I was told by one of my operations officers early on, and he really knew how to paint a picture with words. He said, you can hope in one hand and you can shit in the other. And guess which one is going to fill up first? So for me, it was all about, hey, listen, I may want a peaceful life, but if I'm going to be prepared for that and I'm going to have that, what I really need to do is be prepared for the tough times when they present themselves. We're all going to face storms in our lives. We're all going to face challenges. We're all going to face somebody who's going to come after us and want to tear us down. And so the only way that you can truly have lasting peace in your life is if you're prepared to go to war mentally, physically, spiritually, and in every other way, right? If you have that band of brothers around you that is going to support you when you go through the rough times? Do you have the physical strength and the personal power to be able to overcome those obstacles when they present themselves in life? That's what that chapter is all about.
Outstanding. And that's perfect. Perfect. There's a way to think about that. I hope and shit. I wrote that down in my notebook when you said it. Well, Willis in the chat said, "Oorah." He's a former Marine as well. As soon as you said that stuff, he chimed in and said that. And he also has a show you should get onto, your Homefront Sit Rep. I'll send you his information after this. You say also that fortitude sits between self-denigration and the victimhood mentality. Can you explain that a little bit to the audience?
Sure. So, you know, I was going through and there's four virtues which I talk about in the book. We've already talked about a couple of them. One was personal strength and power. The other is service mentality. I talk about you know, living a life full of truth. And then the fourth one, which you just brought up, was having fortitude. Fortitude is how you react when hardships and suffering comes your way in life. What's become really popular in kind of the modern Western culture is this idea of victimhood, victimhood status, victimhood mentality. You somehow are assigned a virtue status based on how victimized you are on some sort of arbitrary oppression scale. And everybody like knows what I'm talking about when I say that. And so that's the victimhood mentality. It's when something is presented to you, when a hardship comes your way, you immediately default to this is somebody else's fault. And there's really three options when something happens in your life. When something comes up that you don't like, that's causing hardship, that's causing suffering, there's really three causes of that. One is that it's somebody else's fault and they're doing it to you, they're targeting you. The other option is that it's your fault because you're either insufficient or you're just plain stupid, you made a stupid decision. And the third is that, and we all know this coming from the military, sometimes shit just happens, right? And it's really nobody's fault. And, you know, you just need to realize that we live in sometimes a random and uncaring universe that sometimes throws obstacles in our way and we're going to have to overcome those. So I found that true fortitude really sits in between the what I called the victim mentality, and which is the default saying everything that happens to you is somebody else's fault or some other group's fault, right? It could be the government. It could be the opposite political party. It could be your neighbor down the street that you don't like. It doesn't matter. It could be your mom and dad, but it's always somebody else's fault, right? That's the victimhood mentality, which is ultimately extremely disempowering because it's giving somebody else, another group, another person, all the agency and control over your life, and it's removing all control from yourself. On the opposite end of that, which I've seen be more of the default category for a lot of people coming from the military, is what I call self-denigration, which is believing that everything that happens in your life, every hardship, every suffering is somehow your fault. Now, that might be a better default than saying it's all somebody else's fault. It's probably a better default than the victimhood mentality. But ultimately, I think it could be just as disempowering as the victimhood mentality, because if you believe that everything that you do is wrong or all the negative aspects of your life are all your fault, what it kind of leads to is a hesitancy to making decisions. I've seen this happen to a couple of close friends of mine, Marine Corps vets who came back from overseas, and they just couldn't move past something that happened to them over there, or rather something that happened to their team. And they felt like it was their fault. And in the military, we're trained, especially on the battlefield, that doesn't matter what happens, you have to take responsibility for it, right? It's this radical form of responsibility. And that's because that's necessary when you're in combat. It may not be your fault, but it is your responsibility to take control of this situation and do everything you can to take control of it and to make sure that you get your teammates and yourself out alive and you accomplish the mission. So that's that radical form of responsibility. Where I see that sometimes break down is that now when you're no longer in that combat situation and you're back home and you can't seem to let it go, right? You can't seem to stop blaming yourself for what happened over there. And so that's about realizing that, hey, a lot of the stuff that happens, especially in combat, especially in warfare, it belongs in that third category. Sometimes shit just happens. It wasn't your fault. And if you keep on blaming yourself for things that aren't your fault, what you're going to do is you're going to ultimately take all the agency and all out of your life as well, because it's going to make you hesitant to make any decisions whatsoever, because you're going to think that you're going to make the wrong decision. So just, you know, people ask me, so what should I do? You know, something comes up and it's in my life, you know, hardship presents itself. What should I do? And my first response is like, if it's a one-off, you know, something comes up, you weren't expecting it, and it's the first time you've ever seen it, the first default I always go to is just to probably assume that it's, you know, it's just belongs in that third category. It's just, you know, shit happens, right? Don't think too much of it unless it's very obvious that, you know, it was somebody else's fault or it's your fault. Don't think too much about it. But if it becomes a trend, that's when you start to identify it and you start saying, okay, what exactly have I done that has contributed to this situation? And if you've absolutely exhausted that and you can't find anything there, then you can start looking at, okay, maybe this is somebody else who is targeting me and I need to get away from this. Maybe it's a toxic person in my life and I need to address it from there.
Definitely. And you hit the nail on the head with the combat situations. If you don't just learn a lesson from something that happens to you on the battlefield and move on to the next day, you'll never get out of that quicksand. You'll just keep running in quicksand and you'll keep sinking. And then that woe is me mentality comes in and you're getting flown out because you can't handle it anymore. Or now you did let down your teammates because you lost it, because you couldn't just learn a lesson. You fell down, get back up and keep moving forward. And it's the same thing once you get out. Like you said, when you got stagnant, when you got out and you hit that kind of wall, you transition. A lot of vets hit that transition wall. Even when you were prepared for your transition, you thought you were mentally prepared, everything was going to be great. And it still had this roller coaster, tidal wave effect on you, really, that this is not what I thought it would be, blah, blah. Anything can happen to make it weird. And like you said, self-medicating, doing bad things to yourself, cutting people out of your life, and all those things can stop if you just take a step back and say, what have I learned? How can I make tomorrow better than it was yesterday? And start stacking those victories to be better, a better human as I move forward.
Absolutely. It's all about just one step at a time. You know, it's just about the small victories that compound. It's all about making yourself I have a coach who says, just make yourself 1% better every single day. Yep. And we all know about compound interest. You start making 1% better every single day. Pretty soon that 1% starts compounding. So you get more and more and more every single day. And, you know, we can all make ourselves better just 1% every single day. It doesn't need to be in leaps and strides, just a little bit. And that's about stacking those victories, stacking those wins, and becoming a little bit better. And within a year or two, you're not going to recognize yourself if you embrace that kind of mentality.
Exactly. And that's what you see going across the bottom of the screen now, is stacking victories. It's something we say here all the time. Every day, count what you do right. Count the things that go right. So today you do 10 things right, write that down. Tomorrow get 11. Then 12. Just keep adding up.
Not just that. Don't just recognize it. Recognize is the first part. But then also, this is just something that I've done, start rewarding yourself for that too.
Yep.
You know, and it could be just something small. It's like, I love my coffee. I love great coffee. So if I do something, you know, I'm going to go and I'm going to reward myself with like a great espresso or something. You know, that's just me. It could be, you know, your favorite burrito. It could be whatever. It could be a drink at the bar. It could be whatever, right? But don't forget to reward yourself when you have those victories, because that's just going to program in your mind, like, I'm doing good. I'm making strides. This is good. I'm going to keep on going.
Exactly. Jason, if you can give advice, just three tips to the audience, how to be a warrior as they move forward in life now and how to make their community, themselves, their community and society a little better, what would that be?
Yeah, I'll give four tips, because that's, you know, the four main chapters of my book. Number one is embrace the servant leader mentality. That's about the first chapter. And it's all about expanding your perception of responsibility. When you enter into military training, you learn all about personal responsibility. What is your personal responsibility? Making your bed, being up on time, being at formation on time. But then it doesn't stop there. It's all about broadening that out and realizing that you have a social responsibility to your team, to the group, to the unit. So I would say embrace that in your own life. You know, who do you have responsibility for in your family, in your friends, in your community? And that's where meaning is truly found. That's how you embrace the warrior mentality in your life. The second one is the second chapter, make your yes a yes and your no a no. That's all about living a life of truth, embracing truth. You know, and the only time you can truly say you're an honest person is when your thoughts, your words and your actions are all aligned. They're all congruent with each other. And the third, like we've already talked about, is live a life full of strength and power. Make yourself as strong as you possibly can, and then look for how to apply that strength in an area around you, in your community, in your workplace, in your family, such that you're making the community better and you're making yourself better. And the fourth is to, and I call this is the chapter on fortitude, I say, face your adversary with your face forward. It's all about, instead of turning around and running away, it's all about facing it with your face forward, facing down that dragon in front of you, and being willing to confront the beast in front of you and Your body reacts just completely differently if you decide to willingly confront a challenge rather than running away from it and having it chase you. It's a completely different physiological response, and it'll make your make your stress a lot lower, and it'll make your life a lot better.
Outstanding. And need to go out and get Jason's book, Reawakening the Warrior Spirit, exploring what it means to be the warrior in the modern West. And where can they get in a book, or where can they get in contact with you, Jason, to maybe learn more about you or learn more from you?
Yeah, so my website is thewarriorjournal.com. They can find me there, and there's also a link to the book, or they can find the book on Amazon.
Awesome. Jason, thank you for taking some of your time tonight. I know being a new dad, it's a little more work for you now. So don't worry, you can't break the kid. He'll do things that you'll think are weird, but you'll be all right. They'll grow up and be strong just like you are. And thank you again for taking your time to hang out with us tonight and just share your knowledge and story with the Misfit Nation.
Hey, thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
All right, have a good night.
You too.
This is a message from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Got a question about your VA benefits, healthcare, or eligibility? Go to va.gov, where you can access a new interactive chatbot to ask questions 24/7. One can still browse va.gov for information, but you can now ask specific questions to the chatbot, like what's the PACT Act? How do I apply for disability benefits? What's my claim status? You can access the new feature through va.gov's Contact Us page. Then click on the Start Chat button. The chatbot will continue to improve veterans' access to information about the benefits and services they've earned. This is one way VA is offering seamless and secure access to its online resources.
Thanks for checking us out and being a part of the Misfit Nation show. Don't forget to visit our website at themisfitnation.com. That's themisfitnation.com. Check out all our past episodes and get some of the great Misfit Nation gear for you and your family. As always, be humble, stay hungry, and keep hustling, because we are
Misfit Nation.